Have you ever wanted to start or launch your own conference, but you're not really sure how to do it, what it takes, how much money you need to invest, what it is that you need to plan for, and how you're going to market it? Well, today, my guest, my friend, she is known as the conference architect, and she is an expert and a professional at what she does. And I can't wait to share with you our conversation. We're going to be talking about how to host your own successful conference and make it profitable. This is going to be a great episode. Sit back, relax, take notes, because we're going to teach you some things on how to host your own successful conference. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode, live episode of the Maximize Your Brand Podcast with Markeith Brayton. So excited today to be sharing with you in this live episode, because I'm always excited each and every week to just come on, share some valuable content and information that will help you as a personal brand business to grow and build your influence online so that it impacts your income. And today we're going to be talking about conferences. We're going to be talking about how to host your own conference, the key elements of hosting your own successful conference. And I get to interview and talk with one of my longtime friends now, Miss Rhonda A. White. She is someone I've known for, I guess, almost 6, 7, 8 years now. And I have watched her plan and host many conferences for other influencers and for coaches and consultants across this country. And she is just going to give us some insight on what it is that she does and give us some of those key elements. But let me do this real quick. I want to invite you, if you're not a part of Brand Maximizers, if you're not a part of my list, I want to make sure I give you the information you need to join the family. And you can join the family by texting personal brand to 77222, personal brand to 77222, all one word, personal brand to 77222, and join the community of Brand Maximizers. We are individuals who are people who leverage our expertise, leverage our skill sets to create monetizable opportunities for ourselves, whether that is for speaking, coaching, consulting, taking your skill and learning how to market yourself as a professional, as an expertise, so that you can create the income that you truly desire and live the life that you crave. I like that. Live the life that you crave. And so if you're not a part of the community, once again, text personal brand, all one word, to 77222. Well, let me introduce my guest today. I want to give a formal introduction, and then she can share a little bit more as she comes on the stage. But international conference strategist of Conference Architects, founder and CEO Authority for Master and Master Coach of CEO Authority, former radio host, international speaker, author, and president founder of the Raw Group LLC, a consulting and management firm assisting and extending small business owners through coaching, consulting, managing, and training. Known for her brilliance as a consummate personal, professional, and productivity strategist, and as the innovator for conference architects, her sharp insight enables her to unravel the fabric of your vision, startup or seasoned, adeptly shifting snags into solutions. Ms. Rhonda A. White is ignited daily by her purpose not just to inspire, but also to transform others as she recognizes the small business owner's fuel, as well as the exhaustion of doing and running it all. Rhonda is the proud mother of three children, two grandbabies, and currently resides in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. She's the co-author of several books, Fabulous New Life, Volume 1, I Said Yes. In 2017, she authored the book project Moments in Life, The Caregiver's Story. Rhonda has also been featured in documentaries Unbroken Resilience and Driven, The Unpaved Road to Success. And so we have someone who I know is going to bring some great value today. And so let's go ahead and bring her on the stage. What's going on, Rhonda?
Hey, Marquis, how are you?
I'm doing great, doing great, doing great. So I gave your formal introduction. Why don't you tell the listening audience a little bit more about yourself?
Well, first of all, let me just say, Marquis, thank you so much for having me today on Maximize Your Brand podcast. I'm so excited to be here. Can't wait until we dive into helping people to learn how to be profitable in their events. But just a little bit more about me. I am Jesus' girl. I am his daughter. Anybody that knows me knows that I love the Lord. I incorporate it with everything I do. I love serving. I love cooking. I think one of the reasons why I'm doing what I do is because I feel like I'm serving other people. And it's just something that's natural for me. I just like having fun. I love life. I love enjoying life, traveling, and just doing all the things. And I'm so appreciative of our friendship now for, I think it's about 7 years. So I think it was in 2015. It was either 2014 or 2015, I can't remember. But I do value relationships, and I value all the people that I get to do life with.
Yeah. I guess it has been about seven years. So yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So conference architects, conferences. Rhonda, tell us a little bit, why are conferences so important?
Conferences are so important because, listen, you're in business to make money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. You're in business to make money. Having an event is another way to make money. The conference meeting space, part of the travel and tourism hospitality industry, just doing conferences, is an $18.8 billion industry every year. I didn't say million, I said billion. So when you're doing a conference, when you're doing an event, you are part of that $18.8 billion. So it's a moneymaker. So it just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense to host a conference. And so I know many people who host their own conferences over across the country and really use conferences as an opportunity to, you know, sell their programs, to introduce themselves to an audience. They use conferences as an opportunity for networking and identifying their clients, and then also using it to build community. And so as we think about that, you know, what are some things before we even get to the point of having the conference and getting people there? You know, what are some of those first things we need to consider before we even start putting some action to wanting to host a conference?
That is a great question, Marquise. And the best way for me to explain it is, for me, the difference in me and a lot of event planners, that's why I call myself a conference strategist, is I think project management. Because an event or a conference is just one huge project. And when you think about doing a project, there's always a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end, and then there's a posting, right? So when I take it in terms of project management, the vision is what initiates that particular project. It's what initiate you beginning to say, hey, I want to have an event, right? I want to have a conference. So in that vision, this is where you have to get clear on your why. Why do I want to have a conference? What are the benefits and features for me as a business owner to host my own event? And then what are the benefits and features that is going to be for your audience who's going to come and support you, right? And buy those tickets and come in and get what they need to get from it as well. So when you think about the pre part of it, you're thinking about that initiation. And then you're going to move into the middle. The middle is when we get into planning. So now we're planning. We're putting all the things together. And let me just tell you, when you're planning, you have to start with budget first. Everyone is like, oh, here's my date. I want to be in this city. I want this type of venue. None of that matters if your budget is not together, because budget is everything. You can make or break your bank account if you don't have a budget. And so in that planning phase of it, which is a part of the middle, you got to get into the planning. You got to start with the budget. And then you're going to go into other aspects of the planning part of it. And that's where everything else falls into place and you begin to execute. And then once you begin to execute, then you're into that monitoring and controlling and making sure everything is getting done when it needs to get done. You know, and then comes the closing. The event has happened. Everything is done. We're closing out this project. And then we have the post-in, right? Where we come back and we get the survey and we get the feedback and we look at the money and we see if we kept in line with our budget. Did we reach the goals that we were trying to attain when we initially had this vision about having an event?
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. That's so good. You know, because those are some things that we often don't think about, right? We just want to have the conference. We just want to stand on the stage. We just want to sell our programs and get it into the hands of the individuals that we serve. But we got to think about all those things. And I failed
We think about the fun stuff.
Right, right. We think about the fun stuff. And I failed to kind of get a little foundation before I asked that first question. And so I'm going to go back a little bit and ask you, why conferences for you? Why did you land there to want to help serve in that area?
So my little quirky joke about myself is this. When I was a kid, I kept saying, I'm going to be a school teacher. Then I was going to be an attorney. Then I was going to be a politician, right? And so as life went on, it was none of those things. And I was just doing this and that. But people will always come to me and ask me, hey, Ron, I'm having a birthday party. Oh, hey, Ron, I'm having this. And then for a while, I was doing weddings. And I was like, why do people keep pulling on me? And it was like, you're so organized. So I say that this lane found me. I didn't find it. It found me. Because for years, I never thought about it as a business. I never thought about it as my passion or what drove me. And it wasn't until I said yes, because people kept coming to me and saying, you really should be doing events. You really should be doing events. And it took me about 2 years to actually wrap my own mind around that and go, hey, yeah, I'll be good at this because I love projects. And so it just kind of found me. That's kind of how I got into it, Marquis.
Yeah, yeah. And typically that's what happens, right? It finds you, that thing that you may ignore the most, right? That thing that you take for granted, that skill, that innate gift that you don't pay any attention to, it actually ends up being the thing that allows you opportunity to create the income and the revenue that you desire in your life. And so now we can kind of go back into the meat of everything, but just wanted to know, you know, why did you choose conferences? And so you talked about budget, and we're talking about the key elements to hosting your own successful conference. And you brought up budget. How do we really determine what the budget needs to be when we are wanting to host our own conference?
So that's a loaded question. And I say that because before we can determine what that budget is, to me, there are six things we need to know.
Okay.
Well, not need to know, but there's six other processes that go into that whole planning piece, right? Because we've initiated the vision, now we're in the planning piece, so there's six things. So you got to know the why, first of all. I talked about it a little bit earlier. Then you got to know the where. Where do I want to host my event at? And I'm not necessarily talking about just the venue, because I live in Oklahoma, but to me, Oklahoma is not the prime spot to be hosting certain types of events. So for what I want to do, I would want to go to a larger city like Dallas or Atlanta, somewhere like that. So then you got to know where you want to go. Then you need to know when. And when you're looking at the when, you got to look at everything that's on that calendar. Like if I decided I want to go to Dallas and host an event, do I want to go host an event in January in Dallas? Probably not, because you know there's a big old football team there, right? And what happens if they're in the playoff or they're in the championship and it's getting closer to Super Bowl? Is that the place you really want to host an event at that time? So you got to think about that location, you got to think about the when, you got to think about the where, and then you got to think about the what. So I say it's the why, the when, the where. Right? Now we're talking about the what. The what is it that I want to deliver to all my attendees? And in that what, that don't mean just me as the teacher. That don't mean just you, Markeith, if you're doing it again. It means also every speaker that you bring into that environment to teach, they need to align with your vision. Don't just grab people because you know them and they're great at this. Make sure they align with the vision, that you align with your purpose and your plan that you set out to accomplish in that year. And those speakers need to align. And your content that you're teaching needs to align to your why, right? So that's another piece of it. And so when you go through all of those elements, then you can get to the how. Now, when we get to the how, this is when the budget comes in. So how am I going to put this event out? Right? So then you started thinking about, okay, so some ways that I can gain revenue. I'm going to have tickets. Maybe I'm going to have a general ticket. Maybe I'm going to have a VIP experience. There are so many different ways you can sell tickets or variations of tickets at events, but that's for another conversation, because we'll be gone all day long talking about all those different variations. But so you get your ticket sales. And then you're going to look at some other ways that you can also make revenue. You can have sponsorships. You can have exhibitors. So exhibitors are those people that most people call vendors. That's not your vendors. They're exhibitors. Exhibitors are the people who are going to come and set up a booth or space at your event, and they're going to sell a particular product or service. So charging them or having agreements with them or whatever. There's all kinds of ways to make revenue. But then you have to look at the revenue and go, okay, that's great. I have an idea of what that's going to be. I have an idea of what I'm going to sell at the end of my event and what it's going to be, what it's going to cost, and all the things align with that, right? All those elements. And then you're going to say, now, let's talk about the expenses. Here's the thing that eats people money up when they're planning an event. Venue. Most people have this champagne vision, but they have a beer budget, for lack of a better term, right? And so, oh, I want to be here, and I want to be there, and I want this, I want that. And then when you start giving them the figures to it, they're like, oh, wait, no, what? No, no. You know? So that's why it's important to start your budget first, because you can look at, here's my vision, here's what I would like to have, here's some projected costs, and push forward because you can only projected costs associated with that particular venue in that particular city, getting this particular speaker, traveling. Like, do I have to travel? Is my team traveling? Is my speakers traveling? Hotel, room block, food, supplies, marketing, photographer, videographer. Oh my gosh, let's not talk about AV. That's another big cost. And so that's why it's important that you go through all of those six steps so you can get to the budget and know exactly what your budget needs to look like.
Yeah, yeah. So good. So, yeah, we have to think about all of these things. Now, is there a difference between the planning for the conference that's a physical conference versus the conference that's virtual? Do you have to think about the same thing?
So, Marquis, that's another great question. All the process is all the same. The budget is going to be different. So, for instance, let me just break it down even to live events, because there's three types of events you can have, right? You can have a live event, you can have a virtual event, or you can have a hybrid. And, of course, a hybrid is a mix of the live and the virtual. So all of them, the budget is totally different. But let's talk about live events, for instance. So I can decide that I want to have a live event and I want to have 1,000 people there. I can decide I want to have a live event and I want to have 200 people there. Total difference in budget, because total difference in the type of venue that you need to have. Also going to change what your AV bill is going to be and what your F&B, which is your food and beverage costs, right? But then I can decide I want to do a workshop. And maybe my workshop is just with 25 people. Different experience, different budget. Or maybe I want to do a retreat somewhere and I want to go overseas. Again, different budget. So you just have to be clear on your vision and what it is that you want to have and what the theme of that is going to be. Then when you look at a live event versus a virtual event, there's different costs in virtual. So for one, you may have a setup already in your home and you're gonna do a virtual event and it's just you and you don't need everybody else and everybody is live, great. You got all the equipment, you can set it up. Low budget, extremely low budget. But a lot of my clients, what we do, we still go rent out a smaller meeting room in a hotel venue so that we can set up multi-studios, you know, because you want to keep things interesting, right? You don't want to virtually see the same blue background the whole entire time, all day, for 10-hour days, 3 days a week, 3 days, the same, yeah, you want to change it up. So it just depends on what type of virtual event you're having, what type of live event you're having, and what type of hybrid event you're having is what is going to determine your budget. But that's the reason why you work with people like me.
Yeah. Now, is there a better one, or do you say they're all equally the same, or should it be based on what's your end goal?
I think when I talk to my clients and get an understanding of what it is they're trying to accomplish, you know, I'm going to ask a couple questions. One is their why. What is it that you want the attendees to walk away with? And it's not what you're selling at the end of the event. That is not what you want to walk away with, right? So being clear on when they come to my event, I don't sell them anything. What is it that I need them to walk away with, right? That's the second thing. The third thing, we're going to talk about budget. Like, have you planned for this event? What budget do you have in your mind? Because that's going to help us determine. And then based off of what you're trying to accomplish, it's going to determine if we need to have a live event, a virtual event, or a hybrid.
Are you a corporate executive or career professional who's ready to take your life back, ready to take your time back, and you've thought about becoming a coach, a speaker, a trainer, or consultant in your own business? Well, I want to invite you to schedule a brand maximization discovery session so that I can help you to uncover that expertise and learn how to properly package yourself in an online-based business. I'm Markeith Brayton, personal brand strategist and master lifestyle coach, who's all about helping corporate executives and career professionals to maximize and monetize their personal brand online so that they can create a location-free business and live the life that they crave. What I know for sure is that you want to be doing something that's fulfilling and that's exciting and that provides great value to the world. You want to make a greater impact on the lives of individuals, and you know that if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll always get the results that you've always got. So schedule a brand maximization discovery session by going to my website, markeithbrayton.com/consultation. That's markeithbrayton.com/consultation, and let's maximize and monetize your personal brand. Nice. So when we are planning, it involves budget, but it also involves the conversation with the hotel.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Or the platform, or you know, the software you may be using. And so let's just keep it at live events, because I know that we've gone through the pandemic and people are starting to come back to live events. So what are some things that we need to consider when speaking with the hotel? Because they're in the business of making money.
Mm-hmm.
We're wanting to serve our clients, but also wanting to be profitable. So what are some things that we need to consider, maybe look out for, when it comes to having the conversation with the facility that we want to host the event at? And maybe the first question should be, how do we go about identifying the right location?
So both of those questions are very loaded. So I'm still going to go back to, what is it that you, what's your vision, what's your why? Mm-hmm. So just for the sake of this conversation, let's just say I decide that I want to have an event in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, well, I like Marriott's. And I like, here are some features I like. Some clients will come to you and say, I like 24-foot ceilings. Some people don't care about the ceilings. Some people, theirs is about the size of the stage, the core, the decor inside the hotel. Some people will say, I want something that's very well lit. So I want a lot of windows and outdoor light, natural light coming in, right? So choosing a venue is based off of what their vision is. And so what I do is, once they give me a description, because there's a template that I use, a description of what they want to do, then from there, I'm going to go do my own research. Okay. And I normally come up with about 16 things, and then I dive them down to about a good 7 choices. And I put them in the template thing that I do for the client, and the client and I will go through those choices, and we'll pick the client's top 3.
Okay.
This is when, now, let's be clear about the setup. Let's be clear about, okay, the event is on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wednesday's a VIP day. Thursday and Friday's a general day. And Saturday's a general day. But what's going to happen on those days is not VIP day. Is there a theme? Is there some special activities? Are there breakout rooms? What day is your keynote speaker? There are so many different elements that you have to get into that. So before you talk to a hotel, in order to get the best rate, you need to be clear on all of that. Let's talk about the setup. What type of setup do we want in the room? Are we changing setup? Are we having evening activities? Are you feeding people? Are we having tea and coffee? Are we having snacks? Right? How many rooms do we need from this hotel, from this venue? Do you need an office space to work out of? Do you need a green room from your speakers? It's so many different elements. It's hard to have this conversation now in this setting, because it's so much information that I cannot share in this setting that would lead somebody to think they can go do it on their own and they would get it incorrect, right? So there's just a lot of elements that goes with that. The AV, that's another thing. Let me tell you something. You have to read every line on that contract. Once you decide what it is that you need and you submit that RFP, which is a request for a proposal from that hotel, right? There's so many things they need from you. You're gonna submit that. They're gonna send an RFP back from you. You're gonna read everything in that RFP, and you're either going to agree or not agree. Because the thing that also get people is room nights. Mm-hmm. So let's just say I'm having 200 people come to my event, and I know that most of my people live out of state, so they're going to need hotel rooms. So how do you negotiate? I have 200 people, so do I get 200 rooms a night? No. There's a formula to that as well. And so it's because if not, you are making a commitment on a contract to say, if I book 200 rooms for 4 nights, that's 2, 4, 6, 8, that's 800 rooms. And let's say they had $200 a piece, right? So I just said that I'm going to book 800 rooms, right, times 200. I'm going to put my glasses on real quick. I just made a commitment of $160,000. So what happens when those 200 rooms are not booked? There isn't an attrition amount, but it's not a high amount. You're responsible to pay the rest of that out of your pocket. So when you're negotiating with a hotel, like I'm saying here on this podcast, that's a hard conversation to get into in order to give you correct directions in negotiating with a hotel, because there's so many different elements and so many different pieces that can be missed.
Ooh. Conference planning is very intricate and can be complex, but you can do it. Can do it with the right help.
Team is important. If I have to say one thing about doing an event, is having a team. You have to have a team. You should not be doing it by yourself. That means whether you hire me, you hire another event planner, and let me just say this, and I love event planners. There's a difference between an event planner and a logistics person. So I say event planner because it's easy and people relate to that. I'm a conference strategist because I deal with all the logistics of your event. There's a difference. It's not just about me planning, putting some numbers together, saying, oh, you need this. Okay, go order this, and then my job is done. That's not how that works for me.
Right.
So I'm a logistics person. So if you're doing a conference, what you actually need is a logistics person. And that logistics person is also a conference planner. I don't know if that, I hope that makes sense. Right? So you can have an event person, event planner who does not do logistics. But when you're doing a conference, you actually need a logistics person who does do event planning.
Got it. So I've been to conferences where they're 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. How do we determine the number of days that our conference will be?
That's a good question. So when we're having a conversation and I'm asking you about your why, and I'm asking you about your who and your what, that's when we determine the days. Because when you tell me about the content, and I'll give you an example. I have a client that's a beauty brand, and she helps African-American women, or African-Americans, period, to open up their own Black beauty supply store, which is so needed, right? A great niche. And when we originally started off doing her event, we was doing Friday, Saturday, and then we would have a little quick brunch on Sunday for 2 hours, and it was over. But what we found, we've done about four of those, and it's been great. But what we found is it's so packed with so much information. There's not time for them to do some hands-on things with it. And so now we're going to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So sometimes it's through trial and error. Sometimes it's just when you're saying, this is what I need to do. I want to cover this. So I'm going to go back to something I said in the beginning of this conversation. I said there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end to conference events, right? Because it's a project. So maybe if I'm having a conference, maybe day one, I'm talking about the beginning, which is the pre-event stuff. And then maybe on day two, I'm talking about the middle, which is all the planning stuff, right? Which I know that's going to be a heavy and very deep day. And some of that may go into day three. And the other half of day three, I'm doing the end, which is, you know, the closeout.
Rhonda, you're filled with so much information around this. And so when we determine 1, 2, or 3 days, I've been to conferences, and I'm asking all the questions because I want to host something one day. And so I want to be able to come back to this live stream and at least get some of the highlights of the things that you talked about. How do we determine?
Who's going to hire me? What you talking about?
Absolutely. I'm going to hire you as well. So how do we determine, once we know the number of days, we've got our budget together, we've met with the hotel. I've been to conferences where during the breakout, there's lunch, and during the breakout, you're on your own. So, what is the thinking behind the person who's hosting, whether or not we bring in lunch or we have people go on their own? Is that still a budget-related situation, or is that more of I have VIP that may have lunch and everybody else? You're like, what is that insight?
So you just gave the number one answer. Budget is everything, right? Because what most people don't realize is if I decide I'm going to feed you lunch today, and most hotels, lunch runs anywhere from $58 per person to 100 and something. And you got 200 people at your event, do the math. You can spend a lot of money on food, right? So a lot of times people say, well, I need to feed my VIP clients, and everybody else is on their own. Or they'll feed their VIP clients, their speakers, and maybe their team. Everybody else is on their own. Or they'll say, hey, I'm in a great location. There is 10 restaurants right here. So let me serve you coffee and tea. Because coffee and tea service runs about anywhere from, depending on the hotel, from $16 to $24 a person. So it's a little bit, difference in the budget there. So really is that's a budget.
That's
That's
budget
budget.
situation. So a lot falls on budget. And so let's stay there for a little while then. If a lot falls on budget and you want to have a successful conference, then that means that you need to price your tickets correctly in order to not go in debt, right? And so, yeah, give us a little insight or give us a little tea on how do we price our tickets so that we don't go into debt, or how do we pay for everything? Is it only ticket sales or
I'm so glad you asked that. I got happy. I started knocking my feet together under the table because I was like, yes, I like that question. So listen, that's the reason why we do budget first, so that we can understand what are the opportunities for revenue and what are the opportunities and what are the expenses, because there ain't no opportunities, it's just expenses, right? And we can list all the potential expenses. Y'all will be surprised at how long the list of expenses can get. It is long. So when we talk about revenue, we're going to talk about, okay, I want this many people here. And so we begin to do our projected expenses. Like, here's what I may end up spending at the venue. And because some venues, based off of room and night, based off of F&B, you may get the meeting spaces complimentary. Some vendors, they still want you to pay a price to use their meeting spaces. There's just too many elements involved. So we work through all of those elements. We talk about every single thing from that. So let's just do some easy math here, right? So let's just say you just said, I'm gonna have 200 people at my event. I just added up all my expenses and my expenses. And when we're doing a projected budget, we're doing it a little high on the high end, just so you know, right? So my expenses come to 80K, $80,000, right? And then I want 200 people there. So that's already telling me if everybody is a general ticket for 200 people, my general ticket needs to be at least $400 just to cover. That's just to break even. That ain't even got to do with nothing else, because you still gonna have other expenses for yourself. As you as the conference host, you're gonna have a makeup artist, you're gonna get new outfits, you know how we do, right? So, and then there's no wiggle room in there for petty cash or anything else to come up if we haven't covered everything. So that's kind of how we do it. We started by looking at all the potential expenses that there could be. We look at how many attendees. We start doing the math. Then we pull out of that attendees. If I want 200 attendees, how many do I want VIP? So maybe you said out of the 200 attendees, I want 50 to be VIP. So if our general thing was 400, then let's look at what's a good VIP thing. Because here's what I would like to say to people. And everybody is different. Some people have a discretionary income in their business, so their ticket price is going to be the same every year because they're not concerned with all of that. And before I say this other part, and if I just had an event, I just finished my event I just finished my event on Saturday. I went back and looked at all the opportunities of revenue. I looked at all my expenses. I sold my item at the end, my enrollment. I got all that money. When it all came together, this is simple, doing simple math here, y'all. When it all was done, I made 300K. I profit. My profit was 300K because we do understand that revenue minus expenses equals profit. So when all was said and done, ticket sales, expenses, everything, I just walked away with 300K. Clear money. Everybody's paid. I got 300K. Here's where most event hosts make an error. What you should do is take a third of that profit, which is 100K, earmark it in an account for your next event.
That's good.
That's what you should do. Most people don't do that. So you're already ahead, right? And you can start on the hotel negotiations and all those things you need to be doing ahead of time, okay? So going back to the ticket sale. So then I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the VIPs. I'm looking at all the different ways I can do revenue. And like I said, there's a bunch of factors that are going to determine what that ticket sale is going to be. But what I want to say is this is what I wanted to come back to. Your ticket sales should pay for all of the expenses, and there should be profit.
So your ticket sales should pay for all your expenses and there should be profit.
Most people are a little short with expenses, or they just break even with ticket sales.
And so does that mean that we didn't price our tickets correctly, or we didn't budget correctly, or we got excited and we just threw in everything?
It could be a number of things. It could be in the planning process. It could be you just didn't keep a careful eye on the budget, or you just threw the budget out the window because, no, I want that. I don't care how much that costs. I want that in my, because that happens. Let's be real. Listen, you'd be surprised. That happens. Okay. And there's small costs that we forget about, like shipping. There's so many different small costs that we forget about that could really be astronomical. So it could be for a number of reasons. Or I've heard people say, my audience, they're not going to buy a ticket that price. So they'd rather sell the lower ticket and get the people in the room and try to make the money in what we call back of the room sales in their offer.
Well, this has been such a great conversation around conferences. We can't get everything in that we'd like to, but I want to make sure that we at least kind of talked a little bit to give you kind of that high level bird's eye view of conferences if you desire to host your own conference. So, Rhonda, before we go, can you just walk through briefly those key elements again that we should be thinking about as we are planning for our conference?
Right. So the key element again is in the initiation stage, that's the vision part of the stage, right? There's things that you should be asking yourself. First of all, why? Why do I want to host a conference? What's the why in it for me? And what's the why going to be in for your attendees? And then you're going to move to the planning stage and you want to ask yourself when, where, right? The what, the who, and the how. Those are the other five things that you're going to ask in the planning stage. And then the how is what's going to move you to the execution part and also to now be monitoring, controlling the whole process and making sure everything coming together. And then, of course, at the event is when we're going to close it. So those are some of the key elements that you need to remember as you're planning in advance. And also, can I just say this? Please don't do it alone. Do not do it alone. Get you a team to help you plan your event. We understand you're brilliant. One of the reasons why I do what I do, because I help overextended entrepreneurs and small business owners, right? I step in and take care of all of that so that when they get to their event, they're not exhausted. They can operate in true excellence because they've had time to breathe, to rest, and they can come and greet all their guests and have fun. And they're not worried about anything else that's going on. That's not their job at the event. That's someone else's job. And that someone else is people like me.
That someone else is people like Rhonda. Well, we did have a few people pop in. LaShonda Fitzgerald popped in. She said she was excited for this interview. She said, Rhonda is the best. Rhonda is the best. Yes, Rhonda is the best. Absolutely. We also had Danielle Johnson come in. She said that budget is everything. Yes, that's what Rhonda was saying. Budget is everything. Well, Rhonda, I want to just thank you for popping in and sharing with us today all around those key elements for conferences and wanting to host conference. And just let us know, where can we find out more information about you and your business and how we can hire you to help us with our next conference?
Oh my gosh, that's easy. So I am Conference Architects with an S on all social media, whether that's TikTok, that's Instagram, that's Facebook. It's Conference Architect, or you can just look me up, Rhonda A. White. I have a website, it's Rhonda A. White, and Rhonda does not have an H in it, so it's R-O-N-D-A, another A, white, like the color.com. Just reach out to me. Also, Thursday, June the 16th, I'm actually doing a free masterclass talking about budget, talking about your money, right? We're going to be talking about live events are back and how you can have a live event without breaking the bank. So join me for that free masterclass. That's going to be June the 16th. I will begin to be posting next week, promoting that so you can get registered for that. And you can get some questions answered. We'll have a Q&A session after the teaching, of course, and there's more from that as well. I will be making an offer at that free masterclass into my conference blueprint program, which if I'm not in your budget to hire me, my conference blueprint program will allow you to have all the tools that you need to move forward and to plan your event. So just reach out to me, Conference Architects or Rhonda A. White.
Conference Architects or Rhonda A. White. Well, once again, thank you for allowing this opportunity and agreeing to come on the Maximize Your Brand podcast. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, we just got finished talking to Rhonda A. White all about how to host a successful conference. If this is your first time, hey, leave a comment in the comment section of the live stream, or those of you who are listening to us via the podcast, go and leave us a review and subscribe to the podcast, available on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, all the above. You can also follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Markeith Brayton, at MarkeithBraden. In. I'm always excited that you join each and every week and listen in via on your favorite podcast app, or join us every Wednesday live streamed right here on Facebook, LinkedIn. Also share these on YouTube. I am always excited to be sharing content with you and wanting you to be your better and best self. We're all about helping you, the expert, the subject matter expert at that, to build and to grow your influence online so that it impacts your income. And we want you to create the life that you crave. And you can do that by leveraging what's innate within you. So just remember this, that life's greatest tragedy is life without purpose, life that simply has no direction. Moreover, life's greatest failure is to be successful at the wrong assignment. You have an assignment that's just for you to fulfill. And it's my goal and my purpose to help you align with that assignment and to encourage you, to empower you, and inspire you to go do it. Until next week, have a great rest of your week. And just remember this, always shoot for the top, because it's the bottom that's overcrowded. Take care.